How much time? 30 seconds. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
Run.
What?
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
All right, we're on.
Ready, Phil.
We're on in 5, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show, Strictly Talking Hockey. Glad to have everybody with us tonight. We got lots to go over. It's going to be a jam-packed show as we get things going. However, Jason, how are you?
I am fantastic. This is going to be so good. I'm so ready.
We have lots to go over, lots of fun...
A lot of yelling.
Clips and yelling to do. The band you're hearing in the background is Toronto-based, PEI-formed Toronto-based indie band Always. It's their new tune, After the Earthquake, from their album Blue Rev. Will be released on Friday, tomorrow, via Polyvinyl. They actually are on tour right now. Their tour started yesterday in the UK, so they're out having some fun and doing some tours. The only Canadian date announced so far, December 16th in Toronto. It's a Thursday night show in terms of what they're going, or thus far anyway, I guess. Wednesday, Friday? I don't know, I didn't got to check the date on that, but whatever. They're playing their show at History, which is at 1663 Queen Street East. So if you're going to go to that, there you go. A little info on who you're hearing in the background as we fade out Always and get into, speaking of earthquakes.
Nice.
I'm not certain that we're going to see much of Hockey Canada. Maybe we will. I shouldn't say that. We will see lots of Hockey Canada still, but we will probably see it in pictures of decrepit state, in falling apart. Again, we kind of knew that their entire sort of castle was built of sand, and once the tidewaters came rushing in, that it was going down.
Yeah.
And we might have seen that happen today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before we get into everything, I warn everybody, there's some clips in here. We're going to play some clips from Tuesday's meeting with the House of Commons. We're going to have some talk. We're going to have some laughs. But it's not going to be pretty for most of the first half of the show because there's a lot to be angry about. And granted, if you're not angry, I don't understand if you're not following hockey, maybe. I don't know. But
it's such a big story right now that even the Prime Minister has been asked repeatedly to talk about it.
Well, and we have a clip of the Prime Minister speaking about it. So let's get into this, because early this week, the Globe and Mail broke the news. Full credit to Grant Robertson and Colin Freeze, who did the work for the Globe and Mail. Several years after Hockey Canada began using player registration fees to build up the National Equity Fund, they found out that there was a second fund that they've been sort of hoarding away and not putting on the books because, quote-unquote, Hockey Canada didn't feel it was an asset, unquote. So you're basically hiding money.
Exactly. You're a public corporation. You're a government-funded organization. The money, whether you like it or not, should be reported.
So remember, we have $15 million in this National Equity Fund, a little over $15 million.
Yeah.
This new one, known as the Participants Legacy Trust Fund, is a reserve that was created by Hockey Canada and its members with more than $7.1 million that was transferred from the National Equity Fund into it.
Yes. So the National Equity Fund had more money in it before, and that was transferred into this new fund.
This new money was earmarked, quote, for matters including but not limited to sexual abuse, unquote, according to Hockey Canada documents obtained by the Globe and Mail.
Yeah.
Which means that we can pretty much use it for whatever we want as long as we don't tell anybody about
it. Yeah, so specifically what they created it for was that it was for that period of time, or it was around the 80s, I think, when Hockey Canada wasn't insured, correct?
No, late 90s. Late 90s, they branched it out.
Yeah, so there was a time where there wasn't...
They could not get insurance to cover off sexual assault claims for their branch members. So that would be like Hockey Manitoba, Hockey Saskatchewan, Hockey Alberta, all that kind of stuff.
So what this is created for is to handle those claims. If they come up now, is to handle those.
So, documents filed in Alberta's Court of Queen's bench revealed that the Participants Legacy Trust Fund, created in 1999 for Hockey Canada's member branches, basically was done by transferring millions of dollars of the National Equity Fund into this new reserve. The trust was set up, again, to handle claims against Hockey Canada's branch members. So, again, all the different organizations, the 13 different organizations, that occurred for incidents that occurred between 86 and 95 before Hockey Canada began purchasing insurance for sexual assault claims and other liabilities.
Because they realized, oh, we should probably do this.
So, basically, we need to cover off the statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Which sounds awful, but that's exactly what's going on. It was discovered in an era when the sport hit numerous sexual abuse cases, including those with, you know, obviously Graham James was in there in terms of some of that stuff. The trust was set to be dissolved on May 15th, 2020, which was listed in the documents as its intended division date. But in late 2018 and early 2019, Hockey Canada's members went to court to alter the terms of that trust, ensuring it would be kept in place until 2039.
Huh?
They went and said, we need this extended another 20 years. Don't get me wrong. I understand that your statute of limitations is an important thing to cover off. I get that.
Tell me that you're expecting to get sued without telling me you're expecting to get sued.
Because
that's the only reason.
So it's hard to understand how this could have gone unmentioned and unnoticed by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But again, because they weren't putting it into their final budgetary audits that they were required to do,
which we all have access to,
nobody knew about it except for the board of directors who were sitting at the top,
which should be, I mean, it's I'm assuming it's not illegal, but it's like, it's not good.
In theory, it's not illegal. Actually, in practice, it's not illegal. It's basically a fund that's there as like a reserve fund. And again, I'm not saying that that's the right way to do it.
I'm talking about the reporting side.
Oh, no, the reporting side on its own, because they didn't consider it an asset because they thought that it would diminish and eventually be paid out. That's why they didn't consider it an asset, that it was basically a depreciating asset at that. Like, it's not an asset, but a depreciating value of.
And then they go ahead and extend it out to 2039.
Right.
Because they know that because these suits are coming up with more and more frequency that, oh, to save ourselves, potentially, we're going to continue to keep this pool of money set aside because more lawsuits are going to be coming and we need more money to pay people off.
So there was information that was in terms of the affidavit that was filed and stuff or whatever in the Alberta court. The quote, the original purpose of the trust continues to exist and will likely subsist beyond the division date, unquote, as per Mr. Cairo, who's been in a number of different documents mentioned. Here's where things get a little murky, because again, we're talking about how Hockey Canada uses these funds as what they state as quote unquote prudent risk management. But if you're continually paying out sexual assault cases, this isn't risk management anymore.
This is not a risk.
It's legitimately PR money that you're paying off so that people don't talk about it. We've talked about this ad nauseum over the last 8 weeks about how this is nothing but a cover-up, and that's what this money is designed to do.
It's basically when Ford decided, no, we're not going to recall all the Ford Pintos to fix the problem. It's cheaper to just let people die and to pay out the lawsuits.
So, as MPs are finding out about this on the Heritage Committee, in terms
they
of
found out right before,
right? They are legitimately shocked and incredibly baffled by this. MPs say there have been insufficient disclosure about how the money is used, particularly in the 2018 case where Hockey Canada settled the lawsuit with fees from registrants who were not told about it rather than holding the players accountable. NDP MP Peter Julian questioned why Hockey Canada didn't divulge the trust or that Hockey Canada had sought to extend it to 2039 when it was questioned at parliamentary committee hearings in July about how it uses its money collected from registrants. In other words, they lied.
Uh-huh.
When they were asked, they never told them about this fund, so they lied about the money.
Usually when people lie to the government, it's not a good thing.
If you're lying in front of the standing committee, I get there's no judge in front of them, but if you're lying in front of the standing Heritage Committee or the Heritage Committee, whatever they call them, I'm going to look it up in a second here. If you're lying to them, it's still perjury.
Yeah. That's still an official record. That's still, like, you'll see, because we have access to their meeting minutes because they are a public organization. What you're saying there is on the record. And so we now have it on the record that you lied.
Conservative MP John Nader said the committee and the public should have been told in full any details of this and other cash reserves set aside for sexual assault settlements, stating, quote, this is a blatant omission of pertinent information that our committee and Canadians really need to know about. When families put their money into registration fees, they assume it's going to be related to their kids, to their families, their participation in sport.
Exactly.
Unquote.
Exactly. When my parents, when my aunts and uncles, when my grandparents, when they all paid those fees... But they thought it was going to help us play hockey.
In a theme that will continue throughout the show, Hockey Canada told the Globe that it was used to address injury claims, among other things, despite court documents detailing the trust specifically listing sexual abuse as one of the reasons that it would be used for, or the money will be used to pay out.
Just because it's also used for injury claims doesn't mean that it's not wrong to hide it.
Liberal MP Anthony Housefather, who we'll talk about a number of times today. So Liberal MP Anthony Housefather, his background is corporate law.
Oh, lovely.
So dude knows a little bit about what's going on. He questioned Hockey Canada's assertion that the trust is for injuries, again, because statute of limitations usually require that them to be filed within a few years of the incident to be valid if it's a personal injury claim. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is going back 30 years now. Not a few years, 30 years.
Yeah.
Asked about how any injury claim could be brought nearly three decades later, Mr. Knight of Hockey Canada said, quote, while unlikely, it remains possible for a historical individual body injury claim to be brought forward from that time period, unquote. So while unlikely, if it's unlikely, chances are it's not going to happen. And if it does happen, it's a one-off.
Yeah.
So why are you sitting
because
on this huge amount of money?
Usually, when you have an injury claim, you are injured and it's impacting you right now. So
right.
You need the money right now.
Mr. Housefather basically berated them after that, saying, quote, you should explain that this is the fund and this is what it does. If your registration fees are paying into that fund, I believe there needs to be disclosure, unquote.
Yeah.
I mean, that's as nicely as you can say, shut up, you're wrong.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, when those injuries come up during, you know, for these players, they have agents and lawyers. Those agents and lawyers would be like, okay, we need to go right now
and
do this.
So for those out there who have kids in hockey, here's where things get a little crazy now. Mm-hmm. So again, pressed to disclose more details about the National Equity Fund this summer, Hockey Canada issued a statement in August saying that, quote, of the $23.80 that participants pay, $23.80 that participants pay into the organization on the registration fees, $13.65 is paid into the fund for various insurance costs.
Excuse me?
If you're doing the math, that's 60% of your Hockey Canada fee is going into insurance costs.
Okay, hold on. How much was that?
$13.65 of $23.80.
$13.65. I played for 12 years. That is almost $164 my parents' money that went into
Hockey Canada. Did not disclose how much is kept aside for settlements handled outside of Hockey Canada's insurance policies or without the involvement of insurance investigation. So, all of this came raining down on the House of Commons on Monday. Mm-hmm. That led to one Pascal Saint-Ange, who, again, full setup for her. She was angry, and I don't blame her. Here is her comment about the lack of transparency that she gave to the media that on Tuesday morning.
I think it shows a total lack of transparency. And the other thing it shows is that the sexual violence has been treated as an insurance problem at Hockey Canada instead of a systemic problem that needs to be addressed right at the root of the problem. So it's extremely disappointing again, but I feel like I'm lacking vocabulary right now to express because the stories keep on coming out. So it's...
That's the problem. The stories do keep coming out. Now, again, reporters are doing their job. They ask, well, how do we solve this? What do we need to do? And Saint-Ange was not in any way short of words on this one.
Well, I think it shows that management needs to be replaced. I think that what we're all expecting and what I'm expecting is for executive management resignation at this point. We need new new leadership to implement the real change that needs to happen at Hockey Canada. And we've seen it from Hockey Canada, but also from the junior hockey leagues, because some of the stories, it's at all levels. It's not only at the national level. So I think that there needs to be, right at the top, new leadership to make this change happen throughout the hockey culture. It's time that it happens.
Again, she's very clear as to what she wants to see. And again, we're talking about, again, the Canadian government, who gives $8 million, just short of $8 million, a year to Hockey Canada, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, Pascal St-Ange, great job. You know, you came out and you said that. Again, the standing committee sits down with Andrea Skinner.
Can I add?
Oh, you can add. Jump in, yeah.
When she says new leadership and new management, she doesn't mean drag in somebody who's been working for the organization for 30 years,
oh God, no.
Scott Smith, and throw them into this job.
Go
from outside and get somebody new who is not steeped in the culture of this organization.
We'll get to Scott in a second, because legitimately this is going to be ugly now, because things didn't go well in that meeting on Tuesday with the government. Andrea Skinner and Michael Brindamore were, how should we put it, hostile in their defense. Well, defensive, yes, but hostile in their complete defiance of taking any responsibility or accountability of what's gone on. And I'll play this clip. It's a little longer clip from Andrea Skinner, but this is how she framed it when asked how she felt about a few of the things that had happened up to this point.
Toxic behavior exists throughout society. No segment of society is immune. Culpable behavior such as sexual assault, whether in our educational systems, in the business environment, in the political sphere, in our religious institutions, is evil and reprehensible. Suggesting that toxic behavior is somehow a specific hockey problem, or to scapegoat hockey as a centerpiece for toxic culture, is, in my opinion, counterproductive to finding solutions. Our board, frankly, does not share the view that senior leadership should be replaced on the basis of what we consider to be substantial misinformation and unduly cynical attacks. I appreciate that others disagree with us, but our positions are based on the information that we have and an understanding that Hockey Canada has an excellent reputation. I do not fault senior management or the board with respect to the way the 2018 sexual assault incident was handled. I believe the appropriate steps were taken. I think that there is a significant risk to the organization if all of the board resigns and all of senior leadership is no longer there.
Jason, would you like to handle the initial volley of what the hell?
Andrea, thank you for explaining what we're not talking about here. We are not, this is not an indictment of hockey. Hockey is not on trial here. We are not talking about the culture problem that exists in hockey. Hockey is not the scapegoat. Hockey is not the target. We are here to talk about what Hockey Canada did and did not do over a period of 30 plus years. Okay, we are not talking about the toxic culture. Do you want to know why she says that?
I mean, I know she's trying to avoid liability here, and I get that. Like, no, I get that's the main goal in all this.
Yes, but the other reason she's doing this is she's now putting out a straw man argument,
right?
So she can deflect the conversation. She can deflect the argument towards, oh, they're attacking hockey. Because we're Canadians, a lot of people like hockey. So if we're told that no, the politicians are attacking and going after hockey, then there's going to be people that stand up and say, "Well, I like hockey. I'm going to defend Hockey Canada."
Okay, so before you go on, there was a comment right after that. MP stepped in basically and was like, "Are you serious?" Like, not. I mean, he wasn't as "Are you serious?" in terms of being direct, but basically said, you know, like, how do you sit there and sort of dismiss all of the allegations that have come out or whatever. And Skinner had the nerve to ask if the lights would stay on in arenas across Canada if Hockey Canada wasn't around. Don't get me wrong. I get that Hockey Canada has a lot to do with insurance and a lot to do with making sure that rules are followed, and there's all sorts of appeal steps that you can take to if you feel that you've been wronged. The problem is that Hockey Canada, in saying that, has completely diminished, completely removed, completely kicked every volunteer, every parent who works a canteen, every staff member at those arenas in the face by saying that. Because legitimately, every light in every arena across any province would stay on thanks to the hard work by those people. And if you tell me that you at Hockey Canada, if you guys were dismissed, that the provincial regulators who actually run the leagues wouldn't exist,
you're out of your mind.
Go pound sand, because legitimately you are delusional, Andrea Skinner.
Like, I know there's a comment about Hockey Canada being divorced from reality coming up, but like, I didn't know that Andrea Skinner, you know, every second Tuesday of the month goes and makes sure that the bills are in order for the St. Vital Arena and making sure that Manitoba Hydro is getting paid on time and that the Zamboni has all the parts that it needs to function correctly. Oh, I didn't know she went through and, you know, made sure that the ice machines at Wayne Fleming Arena were still working.
So again, here's the other side of it. Here's the other side of it, though, is that she's pointing to everybody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hockey Canada had better make sure Hockey Canada's house in order before they start pointing fingers at everybody else. Because right now, Hockey Canada's house is crumbling. And and by saying that, governments, politicians, religious institutions, schools, businesses, all of those places fall under the common decency of the law. Mm-hmm. If you break the law, you're going to jail.
Yes.
Why is Hockey Canada different?
Yeah, because for the past 30 years, while Hockey Canada has been doing this, there are teachers fired, there are politicians who lose their jobs, there are, you know, people in religious institutions. We just had like a 20-year indictment of the Roman Catholic Church and priests that were held responsible for acts that they committed 20-plus years ago.
So Brenda Moore was asked, again,
accountability.
I'm not taking away from your comment, but Brenda Moore, who was the previous chair, was asked basically whether or not Hockey Canada was, you know, whether senior management is set to basically lead, whether Scott Smith is basically capable of being the executive director. Brenda Moore responded in French, so it was translated, but he basically said, quote, "I strongly believe that Hockey Canada took appropriate action." Again, MP John Nader, Conservative MP John Nader, jumped in and said, "I asked for a yes or no answer." To which, again, eventually, Brenda Moore came out and said yes. So again, it's not our fault. Liberal MP, basically wanted to know why he, a member of the bar. Oh, this is Biddle. Sorry, this is Biddle in terms of him jumping in there. So Liberal MP Biddle jumped in and said, you know, why he, a member of the Quebec bar, doesn't think he needs to answer a question from the members of parliament under oath. "You're a witness under subpoena," he said. "And I know there isn't a judge in front of you, but I guess this is shocking. It really speaks to, again, how Hockey Canada's leadership views this proceeding and how it's taken in the past actions," Biddle basically started off by saying. And then he stopped, paused, and then jumped all over them saying, quote, "It's truly troubling that you would dismiss and dismiss us. We have the same powers as a court. We've brought you here under summons, and this is truly disappointing," unquote. Biddle was all over Skinner and Brenda Moore when they refused to answer a yes or no question.
You have every major political party in Canada looking at you and saying, Canada is mad at you.
And now, before you even go on, not only is Canada mad, but again, Skinner jumps all over that as well, because Canada is getting their information from the news. And Skinner jumps in and says, pointing out multiple times through her testimony, misinformation from the media.
Oh, okay.
Quote, "Our board does not share the view that senior leadership should be replaced on the basis of what we consider to be substantial misinformation and unduly cynical attacks. In particular, Skinner asserted the media's portrayal of newly discovered participants' legacy trust fund, quote, do not accurately reflect the situation," unquote.
Okay. As a former journalist, I need to hop in here for a second.
Here we go. I love this.
Okay. So do you know what the job of a reporter is to do?
Objectively report the news factually and accurately.
They report things. They say what happened, who was there, where did it happen, when did it happen, and sometimes why and how did we get here.
Right. So
it is objective facts. It is so indicative of the current climate in terms of, you know, the way that certain politicians have handled things to say that the media is the problem. They are reporting things incorrectly and misinforming, and they are malicious in their attacks of our organization when they're just doing their jobs, reporting the facts.
So this entire conversation that Skinner was trying to create basically blew the lid off of Ontario Liberal MP Lisa Hefner, and she responded quite angrily, and I have that clip.
Great.
Do you see a problem with Hockey Canada condoning this behavior and even, you know, even more than condoning the behavior when there's no consequences when these allegations come forward? There's no consequences to players. There's a fund that pays off the victim. And I know you talk about wanting to respect the victim, but respectfully, it sounds like a cop-out because the players walked away with no consequences. And so the behavior can continue because the top, Hockey Canada, is saying we'll pay, we'll make it go away, and the players can just continue, and no one will ever hear any further details. Do you understand why it looks to the general public like Hockey Canada is condoning that behavior?
Thank you for the question. I understand there is a perspective out there, and I do, with great respect, disagree with it. I think we want to see consequences for the players. The woman in this circumstance did not.
Okay, hold on. We're going to stop it right there for a second because we have more from Skinner in terms of this answer. But if you want to see consequences, why wasn't this investigated in 2018? Why was this allowed to go on and you didn't even find out who the eight players were when you paid them off? Don't tell me that you want answers when you've already put the bill forward and gone, well, that's it, we're good.
Do people forget that Hockey Canada didn't have to get involved? They weren't the ones being sued. The players were. Hockey Canada stepped in on behalf of the players.
And I will say this, not to diminish anything that you've said, but a number of the players didn't even play for Hockey Canada. They were only there as part of the quote unquote party that was going on.
Exactly.
There were only a handful of Hockey Canada players that legitimately, the eight players had other players from either the OHL or some other place involved that weren't part of Hockey Canada's camp.
If you ever wanted accountability for the players and consequences for the players, you would have done this investigation 4 years ago.
So here's where I question how good Andrea Skinner is as a litigator. I'm not going to say that she's the worst in the world, but she might be close. And I say that because this is the remainder of her statement. And listen, I want you to catch one. I'll point out the line in a second if you didn't catch it, but I want you to listen for one line.
Identify and refuse to identify the players. So what Hockey Canada has done, we decided to resolve the matter in a way that was trauma-centered, victim-centered, or complainant-centered. And at the same time, we've got an investigation that's ongoing, and we put into a place so that players will have to participate in that investigation so that the truth can be discovered. If they are found to have violated the code of conduct, they will be held responsible. And that's a process that's ongoing. So
did you catch it? Because she said, if the players are found to have violated the code of conduct. We're not having this investigation because it's an if or that, if or then statement. We're having this because it happened and they did.
Yes.
You might be the worst litigator on the planet, Andrea Skinner, and if you're not, also, you might be close to the bottom.
The end of that. They will be held responsible, but she doesn't tell us what that means. Does it mean that they will...
Oh, there's like another 30 seconds of her talking and just completely making it worse. Do you want to hear more?
Yes.
I absolutely think that there needs to be accountability. I absolutely reject that we've condoned this. We took a view to try to respectfully deal with the wishes and perspectives of the woman. And I can point to a very recent example of exactly what we were trying to avoid by resolving this matter and not pushing it through the litigation process. And that's the story about Jake Virtanen, where he was charged with sexual assault. It recently,
if your litigator ever looks at you and goes, not guilty is the same as innocent, fire them immediately.
Yes.
Because it's not the same. And comparing yourself to Jake Virtanen is probably the worst comparison you can make as a litigator. Not guilty does not mean innocent.
What does she mean by respecting the will of the victim?
Again, you paid her to keep quiet and then made her sign an NDA. I would like to know exactly where she comes off with the gall and the nerve to be able to say things like this. But again, if you're completely ignorant to what's going on in the world, I guess this is what you can do.
Okay, I've said it a few... I've probably said it on the show before. But the will of the woman would have been to go to court and have her experience validated in a court of law So she can go there and say, this is what happened to me, and it was them that did it. So it will be on the record. She will be heard and validated. The money is not the objective here, and it is such a short-sighted and obtuse way to look at it to say the money solves everything.
So, again, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. That's exactly true in terms of what went on. However, Liberal MP Anthony Housefather jumped back in and asked Skinner to, during this entire setup, the entire investigation that's going on, how would you grade Hockey CEO Scott Smith, Hockey Canada CEO Scott Smith? Skinner replied by saying, quote, I would say that he's conducting himself as an A in the circumstances, unquote. Not an F, not a D, not a C, an A. So again, not our problem, not us. We're doing everything we can. We're being a completely cooperative. We're doing, yeah.
Oh, but remember, he was a valiant hero. He wasn't planning to go up there and give the women their gold medals, but a singular woman asked him to do
right.
it. He was the hero that handed out the medals, because if he wasn't there, nobody would have handed out the medals.
Bloc Québécois, who again has no friends across this country in terms of what, I mean, again, you can vote for them in Quebec. We have no problem with that, but they're not going to get any votes from anywhere else. Their representative, Andréanne Larouche, used her time to eviscerate Skinner, stating, quote, we are all shocked around the table by the trivialization of the allegations of sexual assault, but it is serious. And to say the committee, that there are other sexual assailants elsewhere in society, well, we are all shocked by this trivialization. And today, the same is happening again. Earlier, you compared what happened in Hockey Canada with cases elsewhere in the media, with violence elsewhere in society. But we're here to talk about Hockey Canada.
Exactly.
She tore a, and again, I know it's in French, so it didn't really hit home as hard as it could, but she tore a strip off of Skinner with that.
Yeah.
Hockey Canada's board of directors, it also came up, apparently also discussed a desire to push back against public perception when they entered into their minutes, quote, we are a family, we need to push back hard, need to start defending and stop sitting in the neutral zone, unquote. To which every MP was disgusted by.
Yeah, did they not know that their minutes are public because they're a public institution?
Conservative MP John Nader called the minutes, quote, deeply troubling, unquote, deeming that they displayed that Hockey Canada is, quote, more concerned about shifting the narrative than actually meaningfully implementing change, unquote.
Exactly.
As he stated, the minutes directed Hockey Canada, quote, to get the message into the public, get ahead of the communication, and shift the narrative over the National Equity Fund. Basically, Nader went on to rip them a new one, saying that the equity fund was there to take care of victims, settle any complaints with payments, and it should be viewed in a positive and not a negative manner, unquote. So Nader basically identified exactly what that fund was being used for, which was, here's money, shut up.
Yes. Like, it is just so... It's so indicative that we've got this group of people that have lavished each other in gifts and dinners and jewelry and trips and hotel stays, that they're just like, I want to keep this gravy train going. We're doing perfect. Everything's great. And they're so just divorced from reality and the rest of the world and everything else going on in society that they think that they're being attacked and it's just a them issue and they're doing everything right and money solves everything because money has solved everything for them.
So Skinner continued to try and grandstand after this, obviously trying to save face in what's going on. She was cut off by committee chair Hedy Fry. And Hedy Fry jumped in and had this absolutely brutal, again, she seems like a very nice old woman. She'd probably be a great grandma. She absolutely cut to the core with this comment. Here's Hedy Fry's comments.
Before I end this session, I would just like to make a comment as a chair. I have heard questions been asked. I have not heard a lot of the answers being given. I still feel distressed and disturbed to some extent that there doesn't seem amongst the witnesses to be a sense of accountability, to be rational and reasonable about what everyone is deeming to be a culture. I know we're only dealing with 2018 incident, but that incident does not stand alone. We have heard that since 2003, this has been the thing, sweeping under the rug, helping somebody to walk away, giving them payment, and leaving it at that. Those are profoundly disturbing things. And so for me, that means there's a culture. And I am really quite distressed to hear that everyone believes that the current leadership that have been at the helm since all of this has been happening should be kept because it is a grade A team. And so I just wanted to place that on the table because I don't believe that we have come to any kind of conclusions from these because we have not had any kind of sense of responsibility. Blaming everyone else does not mean that there's a sense of accountability.
I feel like I did wrong listening to her give yes. Hockey Canada crap there.
She reminds me of my Nana.
Like she said it so respectfully, but you knew she mm-hmm. was cutting to the bone
yes,
on that.
Yes, that was venomous. But like that's the whole thing. Is there was not a productive conversation to be had because Hockey Canada had no interest in having a productive conversation. They just spent the entire time lying and obfuscating and redirecting and deflecting to a whole bunch of different things to try and confuse the issue and try and just drag it in a bunch of different tangential directions. And any time that they were confronted with facts and made to answer anything honestly and truthfully, they just continued to deflect and lie and speak around the issue. So we're getting absolutely nowhere. And all it shows is that this group does not want to be held accountable. They don't want to change.
I promised Justin Trudeau, here he is. This is the Prime Minister after question period coming out of the House of Commons on Tuesday.
First of all, I think it boggles the mind that Hockey Canada is continuing to dig in its heels. Parents across the country are losing faith or have lost faith in Hockey Canada. Certainly, politicians here in Ottawa have lost faith in Hockey Canada. It's no surprise that provincial organizations are questioning whether or not they want to continue supporting an organization that doesn't understand how serious a situation it has contributed to causing. I really hope they understand because hockey is a really important sport to a lot of Canadians and a lot of kids. And right now, this mess is doing no favors to kids across the country.
And he's exactly right that mm-hmm. legitimately provincial organizations now are starting to question what's going on. And I'm not saying that this is the right way to go about it, but if you want to hit Hockey Canada hard, hit them in the pocketbook.
Yes,
I mean, they
exactly.
are legitimately sitting on all this money that is collected by all these provincial organizations. And Tuesday night, that's exactly what happened. Because in a resolution voted on Tuesday and obtained by La Presse in Quebec, Hockey Quebec has now claimed to have no confidence in the ability of Hockey Canada to act effectively to change the culture of hockey with the structure in place, unquote. Mm-hmm. Hockey Canada criticizes Hockey Canada, or Hockey Quebec, excuse me, criticizes Hockey Canada for its action plan. Obviously, that is a huge problem in terms of what's going on. And beyond that, they also deplore that this plan was designed, quote, internally and in collaboration with the firm Navigator, unquote. Again, Navigator is a crisis management company. Mm-hmm. Hockey Quebec said it's troubled that no expert organization working in education, awareness, and prevention of sexual violence, abuse, bullying, and discrimination has been consulted or has contributed to the content of the plan, unquote.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting to note the difference in tone from Hockey Canada from the time before and after Navigator was brought on board.
Right.
Because the only times they seemed to be accountable and apologize for what they were doing was before Navigator came on board. Now that Navigator's there, they have done this whole deflection, defensive digging in their heels thing.
So Hockey Quebec has confirmed that it's going to suspend the transfer of the $3 per registration usually paid to Hockey Canada. So that's done. Now, you might go, that's not a lot of money. 87,000 registrations from the Quebec Federation are handed in every year around that amount. So if you're doing the math, that's about $250,000, $260,000.
Yep.
Again, doesn't sound like a lot of money.
It's less the parents have to pay.
In theory, Hockey Canada has admitted that the fees they collect are just 2% of its overall budget. So it's not a lot of money that's going to be hitting mm-hmm. in the pocket. However, the Ontario Hockey Federation is requesting the Hockey Canada not collect the $3 fee. They didn't actually go as far as saying they're going to not send it. They're just saying, please don't come and ask us for it, basically.
Yeah,
it's hardly rocking the boat, but again, better than nothing, I guess.
It's just going to sit there.
Hockey Nova Scotia met today. They had an emergency board meeting today to determine what their plan is, and they voted that there will be no confidence in Hockey Canada, that changes are needed, and they're suspending the transfer of fees for 2022-2023. So Hockey Nova Scotia basically doing what Quebec did.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey Saskatchewan says there will be no change for them. Great. Good job, guys. Fantastic. Excellent work in Saskatchewan, you bunch of losers. Not saying that facetiously. I'm actually saying that seriously. Like, if you guys aren't going to make no change, you're part of the problem now.
Yeah.
Hockey Manitoba, again, had been silent. Silent until 2:20 p.m. today, when they released a statement that said that they are the board of director favors change in Hockey Canada's leadership at the senior staff level and the board of directors. They called for a review of Hockey Canada's action plan as well.
Okay.
Not withholding money, but no confidence from Manitoba. Again, I think that there should be a push on that, and I believe that you should have a voice if you're listening and you have a kid in hockey. So let's make that available to you right now because it's available publicly on their website. You can email the director of Hockey Manitoba, Peter Woods, at pwoods@hockeymanitoba.ca, and tell him that you're unhappy, or you can call him directly at 204-925-5757. Tell him you do not want to pay the $3.
There you go.
Hockey Manitoba should not be able to demand that if they're already saying that they don't have any faith in that leadership. They should not be able to take that money from you.
Yeah. It's fence setting is what they're doing.
Right. We're not happy, but we're still going to collect the money.
We're just going to wait and see which way the wind blows, and we're going to hop off the fence in that
direction. Have your voice heard. Email Peter Woods, pwoods@hockeymanitoba.ca, or call him at 204-925-5757. Let him know you're not paying the $3 this year. Let him know. What's the harm going to do in that? I don't care if he's mad at us for it's on the website. It's on the Hockey Manitoba website. It's not like it's hard to find. However, we just talked about it, where you can hurt Hockey Canada the most is in the pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
And today we saw the pocketbook shrink immensely. Tim Hortons announced on Wednesday afternoon that it will not be supporting the organization's men's hockey teams during the 2022-2023 season, which then basically prompted Scotiabank and TELUS to jump on board that same wave.
Mm-hmm.
All three companies are no longer supporting Hockey Canada's men's hockey teams during the 22-23 season. They will evaluate as this goes on. Tim Horton said, quote, "We've communicated to Hockey Canada on many occasions the organization needs to take a strong and definitive action before it can regain the faith and trust of Canadians. We're deeply disappointed in the lack of progress that Hockey Canada has made to date. We officially informed Hockey Canada this week we have pulled out of all men's hockey programming for the 22-23 season, including the Men's World Junior Hockey Championships. We continue to fund Canada's women's and para hockey teams as well as youth hockey." SO and Nike, another two big names that are in that, they didn't respond to TSN's Rick Westhead comment on Wednesday. However, my, sun rises on a new day and things change because SO issued a statement earlier this afternoon announcing that they too would not support the men's programs during the 2022-2023 season. On top of that, both Sobeys and Skip the Dishes ended their partnerships with Hockey Canada entirely. Sobeys says, quote, "We were disgusted by all of the allegations," unquote, and will now seek sponsorship for the women's national team directly with no Hockey Canada involvement whatsoever.
Awesome.
So they are going to fund the women directly, not go through Hockey Canada and hope that that money eventually reaches the women. Beyond that, let's keep it going. Canadian Tire has also informed Hockey Canada that its partnership with the organization is over. As per Canadian Tire statement, quote, "In our view, Hockey Canada continues to resist meaningful change, and we can no longer confidently move forward together," unquote. Funds will be reallocated to other organizations now, such as the Respect Group, run by Sheldon Kennedy, while Canadian Tire is committed to supporting hockey that is inclusive and safe for all Canadians, unquote.
Awesome.
Chevrolet and GM then followed suit, and they too said that, quote, "We at GM have no tolerance for abuse of any kind and wish to see the Hockey Canada return to setting a positive example for all Canadians," unquote. They then announced it will no longer sponsor Hockey Canada.
There you go.
So in terms of major sponsors, Tim Hortons, Scotiabank, TELUS, Esso Imperial Oil, Sobeys, Skip the Dishes, Canadian Tire, and Chevy GM all said, "Nah, we're done.
There you go.
This is all fallout now from what happened on Tuesday. You had a chance to stand in front of and say, here's what we're doing. We're making change. And instead, you pointed the finger at everybody else. This is what happens when you lie and when you deceive Andrea Skinner. Now you know the mm-hmm. power of exactly what your words hold.
Yeah.
Beyond that, The Athletic's Sean Fitzgerald reported that Ken Volden, an executive producer at TSN, he was speaking as part of a panel for the Canadian Journalism Foundation, the Toronto Reference Library, on Tuesday night. Volden acknowledged the reporting that's gone on about Hockey Canada has impacted showcase events on TSN, such as the World Junior Hockey Championship. He said, quote, "We've managed to build that," referring to the World Junior Hockey Championship, "quite frankly, in partnership with Hockey Canada, into a pretty major television property. And yes, our business is affected by the story. We're not sure where this is going to go, but I can tell you there's a separation of church and state that happens at TSN. We are allowed to do our work that goes along with this and make sure it's right," unquote. And the reason he probably said that, Volden was on stage with Rick Westhead, who's been doing an outstanding job for TSN, and Katie Strang, who works for The Athletic, and she's been doing just as good work in terms of getting everything done on there. Those three were on stage together, and basically that's a green light to Westhead to continue to follow leads.
And that's an important thing to mention, because a lot of the times when stories like this happen initially, it's buried. The Harvey Weinstein story was originally buried when Ronan Farrow wrote it and had all of the information, had all of the evidence, and the story was ready to go, and the network squashed it because Harvey Weinstein's lawyers called and said, because they went to him and said, this is coming. He said, don't let this go. So then Ronan Farrow took it, went to another network, and they were like, done. All right, let's go.
Yep, let's run it. Go.
So this is a huge vote of confidence. And for TSN to say, Rick has gotten the green light, just go.
Now again, people are going to go, well, how does that affect TSN? Volden did basically took questions from the audience about the broadcaster's relationship from Hockey Canada. He didn't disclose any details, obviously, of the bottom line. He can't do that. I mean, that just won't happen. It's a private business. But he did say that the backing of Hockey Canada extended up the corporate ladder to Stuart Johnson, who is senior vice president of Bell Media Sales and Sports. Volden said, quote, you can imagine the pressure on him on a daily basis, unquote.
Because Bell has taken a hit.
And that's the thing, is that you look at this now and you go, all of those companies that we just listed off will have no commercials run during the World Juniors. Yep. We'll have no commercials run during the World Championships now in May, because all of men's hockey means all of men. That includes everything that's going on. And you go, holy crap, like this is going to hurt TSN bad.
Yep. Because that money all flows to TSN via the sponsorship deals. And for those companies, like that's a lot of money that's getting flushed down the toilet. That's impacting their bottom line. That's impacting stock prices. They're standing up and taking a financial hit to take a stand and say, this isn't all right. This is not okay.
No, and I mean,
we're not standing by this.
And I'm glad that TSN is willing to talk about a little bit about this anyway. I mean, we shouldn't give them full credit because they didn't. I mean, they're not coming out and basically saying, oh, we're in deep trouble for this or anything like that or whatever. But at least they're willing to have a discussion about it. We got about 14 minutes to go here. Do you want to have... This story will continue to evolve. We're going to continue following up on this, you and I, and we'll continue bringing everybody the information. But do you want to get to some fun stuff before the day's out? Because it sucks talking about all the bad stuff in hockey. As you may know, Jets coverage has been pretty good this year, thanks to new play-by-play guy Dan Robertson, thanks to new ringside reporter John Liu, thanks to new media specialist in the organization of the Jets, Sarah Orleski. However, it may have got a little bit better today when Ken Wiebe announced that Sportsnet had hired him full-time to do writing on their website about the Jets. Ken Wiebe, I mean, again, you can say yay or nay versus Sportsnet, but Ken Wiebe's a hell of a writer, and I'm glad to see him get a full-time
gig. Getting fired by The Athletic was the worst decision they could have made.
Right.
But now he gets to go over to Sportsnet and has a lot of good access to the Jets.
So, I mean, it's good to see him on there. Again, Murat Atesh, who, again, we've had on the show a couple times, he covers for The Athletic. I mean, Winnipeg might have the best media group ever. In for any coverage of team at this point, because I mean Robertson's pretty good, Lou's pretty good, Orleski's obviously very good. Wiebe and Murat are going to be just dynamite writers for them. So we're pretty lucky here.
Yeah, we got a great media market here for the Jets.
If you want to play hockey in Winnipeg, you're well covered.
Hopefully the team is better.
Well, we'll see what happens. Jets announced today that Michael Burden won't be with the Jets this season, as per the NHL/NHLPA Substance Abuse and Behavioral Health Program. I need to say this up front. It is not a substance abuse problem.
Yep.
His agent, Dan Milstein, came out a little bit later and reported that the Jets and Moose goalie, Michael Burden, he wishes to remain at home, close to family, and will sign in the KHL to continue to play. His salary won't count against the Jets' salary cap this year. Basically, because he's on the substance abuse and behavioral health program, he's excused from the team but can still sign in for another team if he likes to, if he wants to. Sounds like Burden will remain in Russia and will play in the KHL this year.
And if you know anything about geopolitics and the news, not a great situation over there right now. You can tell he's probably not doing too great in terms of what's going on in Russia and with people in Russia. I think this really, it's a decision that will allow him an easier time getting out of his obligations to the Jets and to continue his career, but also keep his family and himself in a better position.
It keeps his door open to come back to the Jets, which is really good. And that's, I think, the important part on that. So, I mean, if this is a mental health thing with the way his family is being treated in Russia, or could potentially treated in Russia,
like he could be drafted any day.
Right, that's a huge worry. So let's give Michael Burton a little bit of room to operate here, because, I mean, it sounds like this is a pretty serious situation. Mm-hmm. So. Other NHL news, the Oilers announced today at 2 p.m. Central Time that they had released Jake Virtanen from his PTO. He's considered a civilian. I know he's a free agent, but he's considered a civilian. He's not an NHL player anymore. He should not be contacted by any other team. I don't care what league it is, NHL, KHL, beer league, floor hockey, whatever. He is not. Please do not add him to your team.
The fact that Sonny Milano was let go of a PTO...
I will say this about Milano. He did not play well in Calgary.
He didn't. But he's a better player than Jake Virtanen.
Right. Let's not compare the two, though. That's a mistake. Don't compare the two. I'm just saying that for all of the negative publicity that Edmonton went through with Jake Virtanen, to release him at this point is legitimately the biggest punch in the face they could have given their marketing department.
It was stupid when they brought him in the first time. Also, it's going to get worse. Because their president is going to be standing in front of a committee.
We'll see what happens in terms of Bob Nichols. We can't say anything yet. I mean, I know they're talking about subpoenaing him, but 10 minutes remaining. Let's squeeze in this one, because this is a ridiculous story, and Greg Wyshynski from ESPN brought this forward. The Coyotes announced today, again, anything with the Coyotes, be prepared to just shake your head and go, what? The Coyotes announced today that fashion designer Luigi Villasenor, again, I don't know his stuff. I'm not a fashion guy, but whatever. He has been hired by the club to be the franchise's creative strategist.
Every decision they make is weird.
Luigi Villasenor will design new apparel and give the Coyotes additional branding, as well as designing their new third jersey they'll wear this year.
I don't understand why this is a thing. Especially because we've also seen the reports that the Coyotes players are shocked by how bad it actually is and how poor the facilities are, and just like how much of a joke the whole situation is for them.
But this is the reality for the next 3 years. That's the problem. Like,
good luck.
I'm not saying you're tanking for Bedard, but let's get the Bedard jersey ready right now.
Also, like, where are you getting the money to pay this guy?
$1.8 billion for a new arena. Like, let's just throw some additional money away at this point, but whatever.
Yeah, you're lighting money on fire.
Let's go with some fun news from around Canada West, because there's going to be some good stuff here. Jason, you know these two guys. You got to call a little bit about them last year. Railers from the ECHL announced that they had signed former McEwen Griffins forward Ethan Price and former McEwen Griffins defenseman Cam Regan. Price, he played for Worcester in the 21-22 season for 17 games. He'll go back and he'll sign there. Regan, who also was playing for McEwen, he was the assistant captain under Price and for the Griffins in the 21-22 season. Obviously pretty good as well. He in 46 points as a defenseman in 74 games with McEwen from 2018-2022. The two played together with the Omaha Lancers in the USHL as well in the 2017-2018 season. So thoughts on those two joining Worcester in terms of getting an opportunity to play pro?
I mean, it's well-deserved. They're two very good players. I think they were a bright spot for McEwen last year, which was a difficult year for them. And they, you know, long-tenured players.
Price left halfway through the season.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he went, because that's where he went and played with Worcester.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He had a great start to the season, got the ECHL offer, and then left. And then
See ya.
Exactly, because it had happened, like, I think, like a week before they came to Manitoba. So Evan and I, like, got there, and we're expecting to see him, and he's not even in the lineup. We're like, oh, he's gone.
If you're tuning in early on Friday as well, make sure you tune into the McEwen Griffins broadcast. The women's hockey team will play at home, but they're going to honor former Winnipegger Jordan Reimer. I hate to say former, that's terrible, but they're going to honor Winnipegger Jordan Reimer, who unfortunately passed away in a car accident in May. Reimer, again, who was born here in Winnipeg, played out in McEwen. 117 games in Griffin's colors, more than any other player in women's hockey history for that club. So nice to see that Jordan's going to be remembered by her former team, and certainly want to make sure that, you know, everybody gets a chance to see that, because it's going to be, I have a feeling, probably going to be a few tears and some heartstrings pulled on at that point. Yeah. So
Yeah, it's always difficult when something like that happens, but I think her being honored is a great move by the program, well-deserved, and I think it'll be a great rallying point for the players.
Yeah, I think that's going to be fantastic. So, I mean, to the Reimer family, obviously that wound will never heal properly, but I mean, at the same time, though, nice to see that Jordan's being honored by the Griffins, and they're doing their respects right there. So I want to bring attention to Saskatchewan Huskies women's hockey forward, Sophie Lawler, because she announced on Tuesday that she had joined the Hockey Gives Blood sort of effort as a player ambassador. So every year, Canadian Blood Services need like 100,000 new blood donors to support patients in need. Sophie's going to be one of those people that goes and donates blood. She'll use her Twitter platform this season to encourage teammates and her community to save a life.
Awesome.
I want to say that's excellent work by Sophie, and congrats on becoming an ambassador. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So
awesome. Yeah, we definitely need a lot of blood.
hopefully we can see some boost from the Saskatchewan side of things. Ryan Gagnon, former Calgary Dino, he's on the move as well. Ryan signed a deal in the ECHL with the Allen Americans. However, he had his phone ring from the Henderson Silver Knights, where he's now attending their training camp. So former Calgary defender Ryan Gagnon is currently in Henderson playing with the Silver Knights in training camp. Whether or not he sticks is a different story altogether, but he at least has a contract this year to play in the ECHL with the Allen Americans. You saw Ryan play, fantastic defender in terms of Calgary. He was the captain last year for them. Kid can play.
Yeah, exactly. He's a fantastic player. I think he was really, like, Calgary's going to miss him dearly with what he was able to do.
Led the team in assists last year.
Yeah,
so.
Moves the puck incredibly well, very mobile. It's not surprising that he winds up playing, you know, higher level professional hockey. Something, if you watch him play, you can see that he's got that step to his game. So it's going to be exciting to see if he could stick around in the A or if he winds up.
We're seeing lots of university guys now getting the opportunity from Canadian University. At some point, you got to think like NHL clubs are going to come scouting this kind of stuff, right? Like, I mean, we saw Noah Philp. Obviously, we know he's going to be fantastic. We saw those guys, Derek Ryan, those guys, whatever, go to the NHL. But, I mean, we're talking Keaton Jamison in Utah. We're talking Ryland Toth in Fort Wayne. We're talking, again, Price and Regan in Worcester. We're talking Gagnon now in Allen, at least, in terms of where he could, if not Henderson, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it seems like the guys who put the work in are starting to get the results they want.
Exactly.
So. Little hint there for you kids if you're listening. Another good story coming out of Calgary is that in a planned gift to the university, well-known Calgary philanthropist and business person Joan Snyder has donated $5 million to the Mount Royal University World Class Music and Speech Arts Conservatory, as well as the Cougars women's hockey team.
Yeah.
So she's a huge sports fan. She was always at the Crowchild Classic, which is a big thing. She was there when Mount Royal was announced as a university in 2009. Snyder, unfortunately, did pass away in April, though. There was tons of condolences that went out. Haley Wickenheiser was actually one of the people that sent her condolences in as well. But $1 million of that $5 million donation will go to the Cougars women's hockey team. Snyder was a longtime supporter of women's issues in the community, champion for women's sports. She was an avid hockey fan. She loved everything. Her love of athletics actually came from her mom, Phoebe. She was an amateur athlete who played hockey, tennis, and curling. So
nice.
That's a big get for MRU. Good for them.
That's money that'll be well spent. And it's donations like that really help these programs move and stay competitive and continue to grow, because it's very important to them.
He came out today and basically told the NHL NHL.com anyway, that he's not retiring. But if Jaromir Jagr retires, what's the one thing you remember from him? You know what it is for me? I'll say this right now. You know what it is for me? The 1991 Stanley Cup playoffs where he danced around like 10 Chicago Blackhawks before scoring.
Yeah.
That's the Jagr that I go, that's where he made he arrived. That's his mark in terms of how he sort of introduced himself to the NHL. And after that, it was just wow every time you saw him.
Yeah, I remember I really got into hockey when he was with the Washington Capitals.
Right, yeah.
That was like he had just made the move over, and I remember him being like just every time he would step on the ice. I actually had it's in my childhood bedroom, but you know those old like hockey figures.
Yeah, yeah.
I had one of Jaromir Jagr, and it's actually still on the shelf, because like my brother and I just for whatever reason we weren't Capitals fans, but we just loved Jaromir Jagr for whatever reason, and our parents got us one. So I for some reason just remember, Stanley Cups aside, I remember him wearing that Screaming Eagle Caps jersey.
Screaming Eagle. We're going to bring up, we wanted to talk about it, we don't have enough time left, but I want to talk about him, but we'll maybe move it to next week where we have a brand new mascot to discuss. So we'll talk about that next week. But I do want to say this, though, and I thought this was a cool fact, and I totally forgot to say it off the top, but I'll say it now. 22 years ago today, the Minnesota Wild played their very first game. Huh. They were visiting Anaheim, where the Mighty Ducks won 3-1. Marian Gaborik scored the first goal in Minnesota Wild history,
wow,
assisted by Scott Pellerin and Jim Dowd.
Wow, that really like set up what the rest of his career was going to be.
So there you go, little additional information right there. That though, we're out of here for another week. Jason, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, enjoy the long weekend if you get it. If not, well, sorry about that. But yeah, enjoy the Turkey Day and have a good time on that, folks. Be thankful for everything you got. We're thankful you're listening to us. With that, though, we're going to get out of here for another week here on The Hockey Show. We'll see you next Thursday, everybody, where we're going to talk about buoys next week as we preview that. We'll see what's going on. There might be an interview next week, though. We'll see what we get up to. But with that, folks, we're out of here for another week here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
I remember I was in Toronto and I was going to Winnipeg and it was my first show there and everyone in Toronto was like, ha-ha, bring a coat! Winnipeg! Hope you like cold weather!
Transmitting live from frigid Winnipeg, this is 101.5 UMFM.
I'm not sleeping outside. Then I got to Winnipeg and I was like, oh, they're right. They're right. They nailed it.